Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AskMe People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Viking Age podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shedd. I write for Zone Coverage, Bring Me the News, and the Brookings Register. We do this right here every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day, but however you consume us, make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss an episode and we can spread the word to the masses. 1,120 subscribers coming into today's episode. So if you have not subscribed already, please hit the subscribe button and keep growing this community. But as you can see, Mr. Nick Marty gets the call out of the bullpen. We use the bullpen like Rocco around here. Anytime we're in trouble, we make the call. And, you know, sometimes the elbow starts barking and it winds up being Tommy John. And I don't really know where I'm going with all of this because, we got no food, we've got no jobs, and our pets' heads are falling off. But in this case, our pets are like Vikings players because they're all getting hurt. They won't stop getting hurt. And I guess it's not that real serious, but it's an ego check because Jordan Addison got carted out during Wednesday's joint practice with the Cleveland Browns. Addison suffered the injury a mere hours after J.J. McCarthy was officially ruled out for the season. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But the word is that it's not a serious injury, but he'll probably be out for a minute. So let's feed into this here. Jordan Addison's injury. Are the Vikings cursed? That's what people are sitting there. Like, they're just logging on. They're getting all sad. I saw a picture of J.J. McCarthy throwing in the heavens like he died or something. Like, are the Vikings just cursed at this point? Or what the hell is going on?
I mean, everyone who has that mindset, which I am guilty of from time to time, like, this is feeding into it, right? Like, we in Minnesota love the woe is me type of attitude. Now we have years and years of scar tissue to like lean on when we have these moments, but it has not been the picture perfect off season that I think we all were going to have after we felt pretty good after the draft in April, thinking like, hey, we did it. And then it has been a dose of reality. I've been working through the stages of grief, I think, like most people have, and I've gotten to a better place. It is going to be okay. And that's what I'm hoping to get across today, that it might be sad now, but it's going to be okay, Vikings fans.
Like, I think the biggest thing, like, this is almost like a breaking point for Vikings fans, because like, this isn't like Wisconsin where you see a whole bunch of Twins Packers fans, you know, like, oh, I like the Twins, but I really like the Green Bay Packers. I can't cheer for a losing team. They're, you know, most of the diehard Minnesotans cheer for their own kind. And, you know, it seems like every time one of our teams gets something fun, it is immediately taken away in the worst way possible. Like, Vikings history has plenty of these examples where like Teddy Bridgewater looks like he's a franchise quarterback. Next thing you know, he steps into a hole at at Winter Park, and you know his career's flipped upside down. You look at the Twins. Carlos Correa signs here, but it's only for a year. Oh, he comes back. Now he's got plantar fasciitis. Byron Buxton, always hurt with something. Royce Lewis, most exciting player the Twins have had in a very long time. He gets hurt. Joe Ryan, like, do I need to continue that? The Timberwolves have their best run in 20 years. They get to the Western Conference Finals. They're like, oh my God, they're going to the NBA Finals. No, they get smoked by the Mavericks and they get bounced in horrific fashion. Then there's the Wild, who just aren't much fun to begin with, but I digress. Like, the Vikings are a whole different animal. You got playoff failures. You have those quarterback horror stories. Dante had his knee explode. And then you have this offseason in particular where Kyrie Jackson, that accident, it's a tragic thing. Totally get it. But Shaq Griffin gets hurt. Mekhi Blackman tears his ACL in the first practice. TJ Hockenson is probably out for the first half of the year. JJ McCarthy tears his meniscus. Addison goes off in a cart. Justin Jefferson last week is talking about, hey, I'm afraid to get hurt. Like, I'm afraid to like turn my hamstring all the way up. Like, I understand it, but the defeatist attitude is getting annoying where, you know, we're turning into, whether we want to or not, like a worse version of Cleveland. Remember that before like LeBron James won on the title? And everybody's like, oh my God, I feel so sorry about Cleveland. I don't need your sympathy as a Vikings fan. I need to break through. And sitting around going like, oh man, yeah, well, it's the Vikings. What are you going to do? Like, that's the reason I've been so supportive of Will Reichard. I'm just sick of the whole, well, he's going to screw up anyway. He might. JJ McCarthy could come back from this injury and suck. You never know. But I think that's the most disheartening point. It's just, it reinforces everybody's opinion that woe is us. We're the Vikings. We've won the most regular season games and we've never been to a Super Bowl. And this is just part of the process. Like, at some point it just needs to be bucked.
Yeah. And this is where I'm going to get into why this might not be bad. Now, you talked about being a relief pitcher, and I am the relief pitcher that comes in and people go, who is this guy again? When did we sign him? But I've been on the show a few times now, and one of the things I've talked about consistently is how at this stage of my life, almost 40 years old, I've seen the Vikings be mediocre to slightly above average almost every season, right? We are so accustomed to somewhere between 7 and 10 wins without really having a chance at being an elite team. You know, there's the pop-up years that we get there, but for the most part, you can kind of pencil in 7 to 9 wins every single season and feel good about this. To me, as much as all of this, you know, sucks for this year, right? Like, I'm in the camp that, get ready, Vikings fans, this might hurt a little bit this year. But you look at this and you look at teams that take the next step. They have high elite talent. Do you know what a bad year produces for us, Krishan? Because we didn't trade away picks this year to get JJ McCarthy. Do you know what happens next year if we have a really, really good draft or really, really good, really, really bad season, I should say?
We pick towards the top of the draft. We have a very, yeah, very good draft, like you mentioned.
Yes. And we get another elite player to add to a team that has a lot of elite players. A young quarterback, a good coach, right? Like, this is how you stack talent on top of each other. And sometimes, as much as Viking fans hate this, you got to get bad before you get really good. Because I'm tired of being just kind of good. I want to be really good. I want to be a team that's looked at as like, man, this team can really have a chance at everything. So it's going to hurt, but it's going to be okay. JJ's not dead. As much as some of those pictures out there say he is, he's not dead. Yes, he might lose a year of practice reps, but I don't think it is going to crush his development, right? Addison, Hockenson, these are guys who, hey, if they come back, that's great. But like, they're not long-term injuries that are going to keep them out forever, hopefully, right? You have your left tackle signed now forever. Like, it's going to be okay. And we're going to get to a place where we can really be taken seriously once we get through this pain that could be the 2024 season.
Like, I think a lot of Vikings fans are just so hell-bent on seeing their team win every week. Like, what is it, the PJ Fleck mantra, where he's like, go 1-0 this way, the season. This season is the New York Giants season, or it's the Green Bay Packers season, and we're going to go undefeated in this season. Like, that's how some people approach the Vikings. I don't want the Vikings to go 4-13 or whatever, because it probably has some questions. But I mean, if there was a year to do it, this is the year. Not that, and again, I am not cheering for the Vikings to go 4-13. I would rather see them go 10-7. I mean, if they go 10-7 with Sam Darnold as their quarterback, you have to feel pretty damn good about what's going on in Minnesota, especially with JJ McCarthy learning behind the scenes. But if they go 4-13, I mean, to me, it's a shrug emoji, because you know the Vikings, they don't lay up. Like, it's not like the Vikings are going to come out and, again, not to bash the Wild again, but sometimes they'll come out at home and decide, it's sleepy Sunday skate time, and, oh, we just lost to the Sharks. This is weird. Like, I think the Vikings are going to compete no matter what until they are out of the playoff picture, and then they're going to compete some more, because that's the culture that Kevin O'Connell has established. I'm worried about ownership, and I'm worried about what, like, the fans will say, because I've already seen it out there on the internet that, hey, JJ McCarthy is out for the season. They should add a quarterback. They should add Ryan Tannehill. They should add, I think I saw a parody account, which, by the way, when you see something weird and don't recognize the name, make sure you look at the name before you go and retweet it, because that guy's just looking for engagement. But I'm nearly 40. I have a little bit of experience in this thing, and I go, who the hell is this guy? Oh, yeah, he's not important. He's just an asshole trying to make a quarter off of Elon. Sorry for the rant, but I mean, I don't care about 2024. I don't. Like, if they win, it's fine. If they lose, I see the silver lining. I see everything. And with JJ too, he wasn't going to play this year. I know it was possible, maybe like November or December, but I think Kevin O'Connell was hell bent. Like, we are not putting him in unless, like, he's ready to go. And I know, like, coaches always say that and stuff, but it seemed like Kevin O'Connell was like, no, I am doing this for the best of JJ. I'm doing this for the best of the Vikings. And I'm doing this because this is the best path to chase. And if I go down because I took the path that I thought was the best, I'll live with it. But I really think that, you know, in 2024, like, it's an enjoy the ride season. It's not going to be in the locker room. But I mean, I think that's the path that fans have to take.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing the long game now a little bit, right? Like to me, there is not a terrible scenario here. I mean, honestly, as weird as that is, I would never cheer for them to go bad. But if they are bad, there are positives to that, right? You get high draft picks. You get a little bit of a chance. They have some spending money coming in. If they're good, if you can go 10-7 with Sam Darnold as your quarterback, that probably means that some of your young guys are now legit stars, legit players in the league. That probably means that your pass rush is solid. You got Dallas Turner rocking off the edge. You got the two new guys, right? You got if you somehow find a way to win 8 to 10 games with this team, with these injuries, then you sign, you know, our head coach Kevin O'Connell to a lifetime deal. You have all these players now that have probably stepped up and proved it. And then you feel really good going into next year too, with all the pieces coming back. You nailed it right on the head. To me, this isn't, the sky is falling, like everyone is saying. Now, does it cap what I think this season can be? 100%. But I think for once, we have to play the long game and realize how beneficial this season could be to developments of certain players, to just the franchise health as a whole, as we try to make a real run at this over the next 3 to 4 years.
Now, here's my question. You know, we're looking long-term, but the Wolves have always had a short-term eye. They were asked about Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell, and hey, you know, do you want to extend those guys? And they go, well, we're focused on the 2024 season. And maybe they are. But after seeing what they've done with McCarthy, after seeing the plan, after seeing Sam Darnold, like, does it make sense to, like, wait until the end of the year to extend them? Or should they just do it now? Because you can see, I mean, compared to the end of the Mike Zimmer era, I feel like the Vikings are in a much better spot than they were back in 2021, because you were signing, like, you're like, this is why I don't want Stephon Gilmore. Like, I know everybody's like, yeah, Stephon Gilmore, we need corners. Let's go out there and get him. My uncle, who is an avid fan of this podcast, and I'll see him this weekend, he said, As soon as Addison went down, he goes, trade for Adam Thielen. I'm like, I don't want Adam Thielen. This is not the Wild. This is not where you sign every player over the age of 30 because it has grit and the stuff that we want on our team. No, no. Like, you have to have some Kenny Rogers, right? Know when to hold them and know when to fold them. It's a bit of a cliche, but that's exactly what the Vikings need to do. They didn't do it last year, and everything worked out fine because they still got J.J. McCarthy. But, I mean, there are times, too. It's like if they lose one or two, like if they lose those two games that Josh Dobbs starts, they have a top five pick. They don't have to trade anything. Maybe they don't have Dallas Turner because the fact they had 11 kind of produced that trade to get the second first round pick. But I mean, people are freaking out about this season and it's just like, it's not worth it. So I guess back to my original question, like if you're the Wilfs, do you wait and see how this 2024 season plays out? Or do you lock into O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah right now?
And so my question back to you is, are they mutually exclusive, both two? I know that they've always been at the hip, but I do see them after a stretch of time here in two different lights. I think Kevin O'Connell is much more secure and has proven more over his time here than Kwesi has. And I like Kwesi. I'm a Kwesi guy. I think the long-term planning, I think he's smart. But let's be also realistic. His drafts have not been the like light the world on fire types of drafts, right? Like he has made mistakes. He has picked players that have amounted to very little. We don't know what this year. It looks good on paper, but you never know again. And so if I'm the Wilfs, I have to separate them, even though I know they came in together and people see them as this unit. Because I think if you can lock Kevin O'Connell up right now for a long-term deal, to me, there's no hesitation. He has done nothing. He's produced with very little in a lot of different positions, right? He's brought in people like Brian Flores, who, you know, and got him to stay. I know he didn't get the head coaching gig he wanted, but to get a guy like that, who's that well-known, you know, we thought it was a one-year deal, got him to stay. And if Kwesi is a part of that deal, I'm okay with it. But I'm also okay with them trying to see with Kwesi a little bit more how this plays out, right? Like, how does this draft class look? How does the people he's brought in look for another year? Because I do think there's more questions on the GM side than there is on the head coach side.
And that could spur some of those moves we were talking about. Because when you're in the GM seat, you're not thinking about, and Kwesi has been thinking about 3 or 4 years down the road, but when you're this far into the game, your main objective is, how do I keep my job? Like Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer had that after the 2017 season. It's like, wow, we got to the NFC Championship. Okay, how do I keep my job? I'm going to sign Kirk Cousins. We got bounced in the first round of the, or second round of the playoffs by the 49ers. How do I keep my job this time? Okay, I'm going to re-up with Kirk Cousins and I'm going to just get guys around him. I'm going to trade for a million draft picks and hopefully I hit on a couple of them. Okay. 2021, we didn't go as well. How do I get, you know, it's just an endless cycle. So Kwesi might look at Stephon Gilmore and go, okay, we could get a couple more wins with Stephon Gilmore as our CB1, or like, you know, if the Addison injury was significant, which honestly, I mean, if we're talking right now, I would like Jalen Naylor to be in that role. If Addison were to miss time, and it's still a possibility because lingering suspension could be out there, but you know, it might be a thing where he goes, okay, Adam Thielen's out there. He knows the system. He's a good insurance plan. If somebody gets hurt and then we still have a good third receiver, let's go get him. Let's give up a 6th round pick. Like I think as much as the Vikings want to say the competitive rebuild is over, it's still in their minds as a competitive rebuild where they want to win, they want to keep their jobs, but at the same time, they have to rebuild and buff this thing up where 2025, big picture, is probably more important than 2024.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, thinking about Kwesi too, now what would I do and what I think the Wilfs will do are two different things. I do think they are pretty quick on the trigger. They want a return on this event. I mean, they've been around a while now, right? And they've been close. I do want to see what Kwesi can do with a little bit of money, right? I felt like he has spent his whole time getting out of salary cap hell that he was put in before the job got here. And that money is coming. And so for me, you know, I would extend him at least a shorter term deal, probably, because I want to see what he can do when he has all the tools available to him. Right. And so I hope they don't go into that mode of signing these guys, I am 100% on board with seeing some of these young receivers. Jalen Naylor, for one, like if he's hurt, this is a perfect opportunity to see if that kid can go or not. Can he hold up? They rave about him. You hear him flash, I feel like, every year, and then, you know, he gets hurt. But like, yeah, I would much rather take my chances with him than go trade for a washed up receiver who's at the end of his career, right? Like, use this year to get guys reps, to really find out what you have in big time situations with young people instead of going that 1 year deal route. Now, the cornerback position, I get that we're really thin there. So if you can get someone who's, you know, like Gilmore for a cheap deal, that's 1 year, like he is not a part of our future, right? Like it is 100% like, let's get you in here to play as a depth piece, to be a guy to help us limp through, because they don't have any real young stars at the cornerback position that they're looking for long term. At least I don't think, right? I think those answers are going to come outside of the current structure of the team we have. And so in that position, I get it a little bit more, but not at receiver, not just to fill gaps, to try to get from 4 wins to 8 wins, right? Like, no, thank you. Once again, let's see what we got. Let's either Kevin O'Connell is coaching Jesus and he's all of a sudden just, you know, become everything we've wanted, taking a team with relatively low talent in some areas to a 10-win season, or hey, we're actually in a rebuild, which I don't feel like we've ever actually done.
And I think, you know, part of the sadness among Vikings fans is they felt like JJ McCarthy was going to be the most interesting storyline with this team. Now that he's out of the picture, it's like, okay, what do we do now? Like, Aaron Jones is here. We got Sam Darnold. Like, Sam Darnold's a meme on the internet. People see Sam Darnold's name and they instantly think about him seeing ghosts on Monday Night Football and just being awful with the Jets and the Panthers. Like, he could suck. He could be awful. He threw a pick six on Monday and he had his hands on his knees and it was pretty hilarious, to be honest. But, you know, there's a very good chance this doesn't work out. But I'm pulling for him at this point because I think a lot of people have shit on him to a point where, hey, I want to see this guy get a job. And I think it's been very copy-paste with national analysts. Like, this is the best situation Sam Darnold's ever been in. And the Jets and Panthers were dumpster fires.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And wow, look at this. Sam Darnold is, you know, he's been baptized in the waters of the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Kevin O'Connell scheme. Like Baker Mayfield, right? Everybody mentions Baker Mayfield too. But I mean, I don't think there's a Mayfield season in him. But if there is, he becomes one of the best stories of the season. It's a feather in the cap of Kevin O'Connell, which I think is why you extend him. And here's the best part. You know, I mean, JJ McCarthy can sit on the sidelines now. Like he's going to soak up. And if he sees a quarterback that succeeds in this offense, he can look at Sam Darnold and be like, oh, like he did this. That's a good idea. Like I should try that. By the time he gets back on the field, which I assume will be what, OTAs or whatever, like JJ McCarthy will be ready to roll. He's able to have that full redshirt season. It's not ideal. I would love to see JJ McCarthy on the field, practicing, maybe having that in their back pocket. But like stories like Sam Darnold, stories like the young receivers, stories like, you know, some of the offensive linemen like Blake Brandel, maybe you have a Levi Drake Rodriguez on defense standout, or Bo Richter, who had a really good first preseason game. Like this is still an interesting team, but it does take a little bit of the luster, and it's kind of why I'm going into this season and, you know, a little somber, a little sad.
And what an opportunity. I mean, Sam Darnold's playing for pretty much his career life, right? Like, if he can't make this work, you know, is he even a backup anywhere, right? I like that storyline going in of this guy who had all this talent in the world, pretty much like it's all on him. Now he's got the pieces in place, as the national pundits have told us time and time again. And so I'm excited to see what he does with it, right? Like, can he calm those demons in his head that were built with every person that ever tries to play quarterback for the New York Jets? You know, they're just wrecking him. Can Kevin bring him out from the abyss and bring him back to be serviceable and get him a payday? You know, I'm cheering for the guy. I have no ill will towards him. I hope he has a wonderful season, gets a nice payday somewhere next year, and we move on to the JJ McCarthy era. It's just going to be 1 year. And I don't even think it really is. It wasn't going to be this year anyway, but it's going to be, you know, in people's minds, it's 1 year delayed. Hey, best things are things you can wait for. And I think we can wait for it. And I think we're going to all be sitting here next year just feeling better about ourselves as we start the new era.
So we have the future to look forward to. That's really nice. But we got another preseason game on Saturday, the Vikings and the Browns. The Browns are hell-bent on kicking the hell out of the Vikings during this joint practice, to the point where Kevin O'Connell actually walked up to Kevin Stefanski like, can you guys chill a little bit? And like, Browns fans are like, oh, that's what weak teams do. And they went 0-16 once. Did I ever tell you my Cleveland Browns story?
No, but I want to know it now.
So I went to Cleveland, I believe it was the summer of 2017, with my friend Blake the Principal, for those who followed the Homer Horn back in the day. But we went out to Cleveland and we got an Uber driver to Progressive Field, and we were chatting it up with the guy, and we're like, so what do you think of the Browns this year? You know, and he's like, oh yeah, I think they're going to be really good this year. You know, and they're doing some great things, and you know, things are really coming in. Now, 2017 Browns, you might be familiar with, because they went 0-16. So Cleveland's always like, see, Cleveland sucks all the time, and they're still optimistic about everything. I mean, maybe it was the LeBron James championship that like opened their eyes, like, wow, this could happen, but they can do it. Why not us? Vikings and the Browns on Saturday. Is there anything you're excited to see in this game?
Oh. I mean, in terms of a preseason game, right? Well, what was I excited about preseason? I mean, it was JJ, right? Let's be completely honest. He was the reason I tuned in at all to see how he's doing. And a little bit of Dallas Turner. So I hope to see a little bit of run out of him. But other than that, as cliche as this going to sound, it's just get out of there as healthy as you can. You know, hopefully put a little bit of fight up. But for me, I don't know. There's nothing I'm super tuning in like I'm gonna watch. Obviously, even preseason football is better than no football on in the background. I'm excited to see these young receivers now a little bit, to see who's gonna step up. If they don't sign anyone, who is gonna be the number two guy? I'm a big Brandon Powell fan. I saw him live last year. I just think the kid has a lot to give versus Jalen. So yeah, I mean, it'll be a fun game. But for me, it's a couple weeks away from me really tuning in and caring.
Yeah, I have a wedding to go to on Saturday. So my sister is getting married and I am an usher in the wedding. And part of my thought process was, well, maybe like, so I'm not invited to a lot of weddings. And I thought like, I thought ushers were like a balance. Cause like when you're an usher during a Sunday morning church service, you're in the back, you're issuing out the collection plates or whatever. It's been a long time since I've been an usher at church. So, I mean, just bear with me here. So I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. Nah, I'm like in the thing. Like I'm walking people to their seats. I'm like telling people where to go. And I'm like a traffic cop in that thing. So like, I was like freaking out, like, oh my God, I can't watch the game. It starts at 3:00. The wedding's at 4:15. What am I going to do? And now JJ's hurting. And it's like, well, I guess I can just enjoy my afternoon, but I want to see Will Reichard. And I want to see him make a couple more kicks, because I just got done looking at Twitter before I came on here, or X if you prefer. It's Twitter to me, damn it. But Will Reichert went 5 for 5, and Alex Lewis said he hit from like 49, 56, etc. So it's, at this point, it's just getting boring to watch Will Reichert drill field goals in practice. So if there's one thing that I want to come out of the like, the Vikings could go like 4-13, and if we come away with a kicker, I'll be jacked. Like, we got him. We got a guy. And sure, he might shank one into the Mississippi River when we're least expecting it on a -7 day at TCF Bank Stadium, or sorry, Huntington Bank Stadium. See, that's kind of, it's whatever, for stuff like that, whatever the first name, it sticks. Nobody ever know. Nobody knows what American Family Field is, but they know what Miller Park is. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about Vikings, like trauma, talk kickers, right? For me, that's even a worse route than injuries and things like that. So, I'm not falling for the bait, Chris. I hope Will is fantastic, but I have heard this before about kickers in practice. Until I see it, I'm instantly going to think he's going to miss most kicks, because that's how I don't get hurt anymore when it comes to kickers. So I hope he pleasantly surprised me, but I'm not falling or taking any bait from any beat writer telling me he went 5 for 5 in practice. I don't care. I don't care until it is a game winning that isn't, you know, week 4, but it's a big moment where we have a kicker who comes through in the clutch, and then he will be enshrined on my wall for all of eternity, but I'm not taking the bait quite yet.
Will it take one kick or multiple kicks?
You know, what's weird is I actually like can't watch extra points. Like my family laughs at me because of the trauma of how many, it just feels like we miss one every other week. Like, I walk out of the room, we score a touchdown, I cheer, and then I like go get myself another beer, or I walk to, you know, water the flowers for a moment. Because I can't watch extra points. So his first step is, if he could just be consistent on those damn extra points, then I might sit in the room for him. It's going to be, you know, it's, trust is hard to build, easy to lose. So it's going to take multiple milestones this year, I think, for me to really get on Will's, you know, his bandwagon.
The kickoff thing is pretty interesting too. Like, just see, yeah, nobody's going to like bust out a super duper trick play on their, like, from the jump, but I do think it is intriguing, especially as we get going here, you know, because it does look like more like a normal play than opposed to a kickoff now. And I like the change. I know, like, it's a hot button political issues. Like, back in my day, we had kickoff. We had Brock Lesnar breaking the wedge. Like, remember that in a preseason game where he just goes all the way down and like he's concussed halfway down the field. You know, the kickoffs are interesting to me, but I mean, other than that, yeah, we're one game in when we're already waiting for the regular season. It's funny how that worked.
Yep. I think you go down to 2 preseason games. That would be my dream. If you're going to add another game, go down to 2, get a couple more of these joint practices, which everyone seems to like more than them.
Actually, and you know what? I think people are against them again.
Oh, really? Now we're, I can't keep up.
Yeah, it's a cycle. It's like this vicious circle of, yeah, well, we don't want to play preseason games, but we need some work. No, they're hitting us too hard. We need to stop. This is, the Browns are beating us up. We need to stop. No. Okay. Well, now we need to see other teams, so we stop fighting each other, and it'll just go over and over and over again.
Just go college football and expect week 1 to look a little rusty, right? Like, let's just, there's something fun. I'm going next Thursday night to the Gophers, and you never know what to expect week 1. Like, is it going to be brutal? Probably in certain moments. Let's just do it all across the board. It'll be kind of a mystery. Everyone will be happy and everyone will care from day 1. So that's my vote. Let's just outlaw it all together and just week 1, here we go.
Gopher football. It's crazy that we're a month away, especially because we've been playing college football for the past, month?
Yeah, it's been great. Right.
Yes. For those of you who know, Nick doesn't write anywhere. He just, you know, I like talking football with him, so I have him on the show, and he is a big college football fan. He's a big college football video game fan, and he has not had his foot fixed for years. So now that it is finally out, I think this is the first time I've had you on the show since the game came out. What do you think?
Well, I'm gonna preference my bias right away, that they could have produced hot garbage with the Dynasty mode and I would still be completely happy. So I don't know how much of my love for this game is that the game is actually good, or I have had this hole in my soul for a decade now, needing something to fill it. And so it literally is what I look forward to as my fun in my life as a dad of two young girls, as someone, you know, you got to do all the dad stuff, the adulting stuff, but it gets to be about 9:30 at night and I can finally like do my time. Oh, it's been great. I've brought in Indiana, the Hoosiers. I took their job. It's like, I mean, this is how nerdy it is, right? Like I act like it's really happening, right? Like I took a mid to low level Big Ten job to try to build my career, turned them into like, we had this spike first season, made the national football or college football playoff. And now Indiana is running into the hearts of everyone in my make-believe universe. And we got a bunch of seniors. We're about four games in. I'm going to have a terrible team next year. We turn over everyone, but oh man, it's fun to have it again. It's a great escape. I thought they've actually done a pretty nice job with it. Gameplay smooth. Once you figure out your sliders and turn down the interception rate on, you know, those defensive players, that any mistake you make is going the other way. But oh man, it's fun. It's fun.
I think so. From Dynasty, I mean, Dynasty mode is like the greatest video game mode in any game ever. Because you just go, you can only go 25 years. But I mean, at the same time, that's plenty of time. Like, I think the deepest I've ever gotten in Dynasty mode is like 10. And that's like simming a full season to get my guys or whatever. But I like the recruiting. The recruiting's fun, even though it got a little tougher with the new patch. But it's still amazing. I still got a 5-star quarterback as the offensive coordinator of the Minnesota Golden Gophers. We are 5-0. We are going into a stretch where we got to play Penn State, Ohio State, and Oregon in succession. So we'll see if, you know, we get out of that alive, if Darius Taylor can carry us in his Heisman campaign and whatever. But obviously, my eyes go in Kalen DeBoer mode. I want a new job. I want to take over a team from the MAC, turn them into a house, or even like you, Indiana, I learned the other day, is the most losingest program in college football history. No team in college football has lost more games than the Indiana Hoosiers. And a sweet stadium, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool.
It's got Heps Rock or whatever it's called at the beginning.
I see them. My players touching everything. I had to research what it was because I had no clue, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think Indiana football, the only player that comes to mind is Antoine Randall-El. Like, like, oh, yeah. And then didn't Michael Penix, wasn't he there for a hot minute? And so I'm like, I don't really know much history of Indiana football. And
Jordan Howard was there back in the day.
Oh, that's right.
I can't remember if he graduated from there or if he was a UAB grad, but
okay,
it was one or the other. Exactly. We could probably just fill the rest of this podcast just throwing out random like Indiana alums like Eric Gordon, Isaiah Thomas. Yep. None of them would be football because, of course not. Dan Feedy. He's from
Indiana. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I believe he's from Indiana. So there you go. Viking there. I do want to shout out all the people, though, who went online and complained because they just play Ultimate Team and they throw all their money away and then they bitch about how bad the game is. I did laugh the hardest because somebody threw an interception and he's like, oh my God, this is such a bad game. One more sleep until Madden 25. And I bought the MVP bundle just so I could have both and, you know, build around JJ McCarthy, RIP. But first play, McCarthy dropped back. I forgot to set the pass protections, got sacked and threw an interception. Then I threw two more and I'm like, huh, it's almost like it's not fixed. And then the other day I saw, I got to play college football 25 now. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, it just seems like you can't play defense or anything. And I'm like, oh, no shit. Maybe you just suck at the game. No, I don't suck at the game. How would you even tell me that? I got a YouTube channel. I don't suck. So, I don't know. Light your controller on fire and throw it into the corner of the room like I've seen.
Yep. It brings out anger in a lot of people. And so, you know what? You do you. Everyone plays the game their own way. You do you. I'm going to stick with my dynasty mode and probably I probably will never touch Ultimate Team, even though I bought the extra pass. The only reason I bought it was to get 2 free days.
Yes.
So if I could share it with anyone, I would. But you do you, whatever you need. But I'm just glad it's back in my life.
Of course, the other thing I have to discuss with you on the podcast, because it's been a while, you and your daughter got your first taste of WWE up close. So how was Raw, man?
It was an absolute blast. We were at the Go Home show before SummerSlam. We spent the big bucks to sit front row right on the entrance ramp with my 8-year-old daughter, who just has fallen in love with wrestling. You know, she had the time of her life. She got high fives from, she has a whole list of like Sheamus, who absolutely almost destroyed her arm. I've never seen someone high five as hard as Sheamus does, but she points to me and it's like stinging. And she's like, "Dad, that hurt." And it was awesome. And, you know, and so it was an absolute blast to be that close to him. We got some interaction with Carlito, which was really, really fun. And she got to high five Damian Priest, and now he's a good guy. And so she thought that was great. You know, she, one of the, I think Caden Carter, is that her name?
Yep.
She called her, you know, she came back and was like, "Hey, sweetheart, how are you?" And Em was like, "Oh my goodness. She's like my friend now." I'm like, "Well, she probably says that to a lot of people." but it was an absolute blast and it worth every penny to get 4 hours of awesome quality time with something I love, with the person I love the most in this world. So it was pretty cool.
It is awesome when you sit. I mean, it's fun just to be in the building in general. Like if you're in the lower bowl and watching a wrestling show, it can be a lot of fun. When you sit up close, especially when you do it for the first time, it's the coolest thing ever, because I remember, I can't remember what year it is. So WrestleMania 28 was the year, because that's what they were building to. But I can't do math right now. But anyway, like we wound up getting these tickets from scalpers for $40 because we had basically played them throughout the night. So we get these tickets for $40 and we go to the usher. We're like, "Hey, where are our seats?" And he looks at it and he goes, "Oh yeah, you guys are right behind Michael Cole and Jerry the King Lawler." And we're like, "Oh, sweet." So, you know, he's like, "Hey, can I check your ticket one more time to check it out?" I'm like, "Do what you need to do." So he looks and he goes, "Oh yeah, I'm sorry that your seats aren't there. They're over here." So we were like second row. John Cena was like standing right in front of me and we're just like, "Dude, that's John Cena." And then later The Undertaker was there and they were building towards that Hell in a Cell match with Triple H. So nice. Like, you know, Undertaker's like, "We need to do this." And Triple H is like, "We're going to do this. We are going to go all the way. Hell in a Cell."
Yeah.
And like the Undertaker was like talking and he's like, "We're at the end of an era." And my friend Jason is sitting next to me and he's like, looks at me and he goes, "Yes, we are, Undertaker. Yes, we are." Because like, you know, Cody, we had a few libations before the show and Undertaker looked at my buddy and he's like just not knowing what was happening in the front row. But it is cool. I mean, the picture above my shoulder here of Randy Orton, I got that sitting ringside when they had a show in Rochester. He was trolling a kid, telling them to sit down because he was a bad guy. And it was awesome. The kid was cheering for Charlotte against Becky Lynch at one point, and she was the only person cheering for Charlotte in the entire stadium. So after the match, Charlotte walked over and was just like, "Thanks, kid."
Yeah.
Just very cool to be up close and have that moment.
It was cool. Yeah. The only disappointing part is she really wanted a bad guy to rip up her sign. Like she wanted that moment and it never happened. And so, that was her only thing. And she's like, "Dad, it would just be really cool to take my sign and then hang it on my wall ripped up." and so, you know, I'm like, "Well, kid, like, yeah,
there's a lot of signs.
Yeah. You got a lot of chances still." And that doesn't happen too frequently, but I think she's hooked for life.
Always a good time at the wrestling show. And it's always a good time talking Vikings with you, Nick Marty, but that's all the time we have for today on the Viking Age podcast. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. For Nick Marty, I am Chris Shad. This has been the Viking Age podcast.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.